say, you will become free. Who are you calling slave? These Jews believed in him, by the way. He said to the Jews who believed in him. That's what this started in verse 31. They believed in him, but slave, that has a really, really bad vibe to it, especially if it's that whole idea of the difference between slave and free. Why do we need freedom, after all? And that's a question people have all the time around us, in our communities, those people we talk to. Why do we need freedom? A lot of people said, why do we need salvation? Well, that's part of it. Jesus was talking to Jews, so he's speaking of freedom from the bondage that they found in the law and the bondage to sin. But he mostly needed to let everyone know that our freedom has to do with our own attachment, our own habit, our own addiction to sin. Yeah, sin's an addiction. It's an addiction at every little step, every little thing. It becomes a habit. You know what they used to say in the 50s and 60s about smoking? You know, oh, this is just a bad habit, right? I just have to stop this habit. Well, now we know for sure it's totally an addiction to nicotine. Well, addictions sneak up on us. We start small. We start to do just a little bit, and then we do a little more, and then we want a little more, and then we just try to discover a little more than we had before. Jesus said, well, you don't know why? He answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Well, you are what you do. You are what you do. That's why we get lost in the idea of whether or not we're really sinners or whether or not we need the freedom. Jesus pretty much said, don't you know that everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin? Psalm 14:3 that we read in our psalm before us, before we started here, everyone has turned away. Together they have become rotten to the core. No one, not even one person, does good things. Well, that one started out with the fool says in their heart there is no God. The sinner says in his heart it doesn't really matter what I do, so there's probably no God anyway. See, the thing is, we become a fool when we become a slave to sin. We're a fool to that sin, and we act as if there is no God. We're in on that first verse of Psalm 14, as well as struggling through the third verse. Everyone is turned away. Together they've become rotten to the core. Have you ever had those days where you've noticed that you're rotten to the core? You've discovered, hey, I thought I was over that. I thought I'd fix that. I didn't know I was there anymore. But here I am, rotten to the core. Oh, my goodness sakes, what am I going to do with myself? The thing is, sinners have turned from God. Sinners have become rotten. Sinners don't even know how to do right anymore. Jesus said, don't you know everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin? Well, wait a minute, we've never been slaves to anybody. You're probably not paying attention then. Probably not paying attention. We don't even know how to do right anymore. Slaves aren't sons. And Jesus says this in verse 35, the slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son does remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Jesus proclaims emancipation, which is good news for us who are slaves to sin. This is an emancipation proclamation. If the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed, in truth, totally. Only his truth can set us free. If we know the truth sets us free. The truth is locked up in him. It is him, and his freedom is an amen, a verily, verily, a free indeed. Well, what does set free mean? Set free means free to be God's children. Set free means free to do what's right. Well, wait a minute. Don't we have the choice every time, every day? Don't we always have the choice to do what we should do? Of course, the choice is always there. But we are so trapped by our selfish desires, so trapped by our desires to run our own life, so trapped by the same sin that caught Adam and Eve in the garden, that says, don't you want to be like God? Don't you want to be like Him? Don't you want to take His place? Well, we get trapped into that very basic sin. And trapped in that sin, we don't even remember how to do right. We don't really leave ourselves the option to do what God wants us to do, because even when we do what God wanted us to do in the first place, we do it on our own ideas of what we should do rather than God's ideas of what you can do, what we should do. Did you know you can do right and be totally against God? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So it doesn't matter whether they live a normal life or a moral life or not. If you live a moral life denying God, you're still wrong and you're still a rebel against God. You can't just say, I live a good life. I live better than the Christians around me. Well, that's not your comparison. Are you living your life because of the life of God flowing into you? The Spirit of God, which is that water of life that Jesus pours into us so that it might pour out from us and bless others. We forget that we're so trapped, we're so slaved. And because the status quo in sin is slavery. If we just stick to the status quo, we stick to slavery. Verse 37 and 38 of John chapter 8. Jesus says, I know you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Well, the status quo is slavery. And the truth is, some like to keep the slavery more than they like to hear the truth. Why is that? Well, our psyches get all messed up when we get beaten down. When we get captured, when we're beaten down, when we are enslaved, when we are forced to obey, when we are pushed into a corner, when our only survival is to do what is wrong, we start to learn that only doing what is wrong is what is right. It's the problem that runaways face all the time when a pimp gets control of them. They beat them down, they trap them, they tell them at first that they're doing this for their good, and then it turns out that all they're doing is stealing and killing and destroying. And yet that person beaten down by this fact of being captured, enslaved, forced to obey, abused by sin, we start to think that that is what life looks like. The status quo is slavery to sin. Well, they answer Jesus in verse 39. Abram's our father. But Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. Jesus said, don't rest on heritage. You can't rest on heritage. You can't get into heaven by saying my daddy was a deacon. Doesn't work that way. You can't get into heaven by saying my uncle was a preacher. You can't get into heaven by saying my grandma always prayed for me. You can't get into heaven by the heritage that is behind you. You need to live your lives in current behavior. How do you look at God? How do you see God? Do you practice the truth? Do you know the truth? Do you know Christ, the Word of God, the very truth of God? Has that truth set you free? Because the status quo is slavery. Behaviors are what prove whose we are. Oh, heritage might say something about who we are, but it's only behavior that proves whose we are. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. If you abide in me and abide in my word, then you will be my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Because without that, you are a slave to sin. And if you do nothing about that, you're still stuck in that slavery. Even if what's wrong seems right to you, yet that slavery still is real. There's the problem, because truth doesn't settle in a trapped mind. Truth doesn't settle in a mind that has been entrapped by the abuse that's around it. We have this problem all the time when we talk to people that are in desperate situation. We talk to people that know their lives are way out of control. We talk to people that know they're not where they should be. We talk to people all the time who understand that something's wrong, but yet their minds are too trapped to hear the truth of the gospel and the good news and the blessings that God has for them. So abused by sin that we only know sin's mastery of us. And a slave master will always block the truth so you don't rebel. And Satan will always try and block the truth of God so you won't rebel against Satan. Instead, you'll stay a rebel against God. And ever since the garden, our default is selfish, sinful behavior. But when we discover the truth of God, we'll find that the truth of God leads us to accept the Son of God. The truth is in Him. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. We can finally find release from sin's slavery. We can finally learn how to follow God's love. We can finally learn how to heed God's word and do it because we love God, because we know that He first loved us. So that's the problem. Satan says, the love of God and His plan for your life for eternity doesn't matter. Only what matters if you feel good right now. Only what matters is what keeps you from being bored right now. Only what matters is what you're playing at right now. Only what matters is the pleasure that you have right now. Only what matters is the taste that you experience right now. Only what matters is that behavior that you're doing right now. That's the lie of Satan, not the truth of God. Because the truth of God says, I love you so much that I send my one and only Son. That you just believe in who He is and accept His truth. That truth will set you free. Set you free. Slave or free? Well, Jesus said, if you practice sin, you're a bondservant or slave of sin, and He came to set us free. He died on the cross to take that penalty. The gospel hasn't changed any. It's still the same reality for each one of us every day. Every day, when we choose what we're going to do, when we decide on our behaviors, when we move from this step to that step, every step we take, we have a choice to make. Are we going to live within the love of God's family as one of His children? Or are we going to decide to follow that slave master of sin? Jesus simply said what was true. Whatever we practice becomes our master. He said to abide in His word and become disciples. And that other option is just keep on with your sin. The status quo remains, and sin is your master. You're truly slaves because sin demands everything of you. It doesn't release you partway. Demands everything. You think you've satisfied that urge. Well, no, that urge says a little more. It's like sitting down with a quart of dark chocolate Häagen-Dazs and a spoon. Sitting down with a game on a phone. Sitting down with things you shouldn't be looking at. Sitting down making plots and plans that are not going to turn out to bless God, but only to bless you. That kind of behavior is what we continue to do. If you keep on with your sin, sin is your master, and sin will continue to demand everything of you. Satan is never satisfied. Always says, a little more, a little more. See, that's the difference between sin and salvation. The difference between sin and salvation is that sin always says, more, more, more. And salvation says that Jesus, the righteous one, died once for all. Once for all. We have entered into a place where our salvation is completed in Christ. We've entered into a place where slave is no longer that ever demanding master who just won't let us go, because Jesus is a different kind of master. He doesn't overbear. He doesn't steal our identity. Instead, he sets us free from that slavery so that we live in freedom, not trapped by the addiction to sin, not held captive by the deceit of sin. Those chains are cut when we give our lives to him. But that means we have to go through the process. And the first part of that process is this. We have to be freed from sin. We first need to admit we're held captive by it. We need confession so that we can receive forgiveness. David's prayer in Psalm 51 shows us what this looks like. The heading of this psalm says it's for the choir director, a psalm by David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David's adultery with Bathsheba. And when Nathan pointed out his sin, David looked to the Lord. This is the difference between someone who's slave to sin and someone who just ends up sinning. Because David looked to the Lord when he heard the truth. The truth began again to set him free. Nathan said, this man is you. You're the guilty party. And David recognized the truth. And so that truth, he pronounced back to God, have pity on me, O God, in keeping with your mercy, in keeping with your unlimited compassion, wipe out my rebellious acts. Wash me thoroughly from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. I admit that I'm rebellious. My sin is always in front of me. You see, if you don't recognize the sin that God already knows is there, you won't feel like you have anything to repent of. That's why God sends people into our lives from time to time and says, Dave, I need to talk to you for a little bit. And a good friend sits you down and tells you the truth. And he tells you the truth of God. When we pay attention to Jesus, he is that good friend that sits us down and tells us the truth so that the truth might set us free. What is it that still holds you captive? Most of us still have something. Well, most of us have a blot, but, you know, we can only deal with one thing at a time. That's the thing. Our little minds only recognize one thing at a time, and that's just as well, because we're really only fit to deal with one thing at a time. We don't have the larger capacity. So sometimes in terms of living as a disciple of Jesus Christ, well, you begin first with confession so that you might ask forgiveness, so that Christ, by the blood of the cross, can wash you clean. But in that confession, you're probably just noticing the last biggest thing that's on your mind. And then the deeper you go into relationship with God, the more he shows you. Oh, yes, confession for salvation happens as a package deal. But confession for the process of becoming a better disciple happens piece by piece by piece by piece throughout our lives. A little more, a little deeper. A little deeper because that sin that has always demanded a little more has buried itself so deep in our bones that we need to bring that out and seek the forgiveness and healing and blessing of God. What is it that you're still a captive to? Oh, saved or not? You see, David sinned, but he was had a heart for God. If you have no heart for God, then you're just serving the master of sin. Jesus said, "Abide in me and in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Slaves, no more. But we need that step of confession. We need that step of recognizing that we're broken. We need mended. We're wounded. We need healed. We're separated from him in some part of our lives. And so we give ourselves back to him. I invite you to pray with me, and then we're going to sing a song of invitation, and there's a part of the Psalm 51 that we will share as we move through that invitation with the song. But first, we'll sing together after a moment of prayer.